4-1836, United States versus David Calderon Pascal. At this time, would counsel for the appellant please come to the podium and introduce himself on the record to begin.
Good morning, Your Honors. George Palace on behalf of the appellant, who was a third-party petitioner in the district court. He is here for one issue only. He's a commercial fisherman, and it's a straightforward due process case because...
Counsel, let me ask you at the beginning. Do you concede your client did not comply with the Jones Act English language requirement? Because the documents that were presented to the district court were all in Spanish.
Judge, that's such a red herring first of all, if it was a defect, is it not curable? I mean, we are in Puerto Rico. These are the documents that come from...
I know we're in Puerto Rico. I speak Spanish.
I mean,
people speak Spanish, but when I was a district court judge, I relied on Spanish documents one time. I got reversed. There's a long series of precedents.
So the judge speaks Spanish. The prosecutor spoke Spanish.
You can't use it in the federal court under the rules. You just can't.
But even the government used the same numero de registración in the indictment, the same number and everything. I mean, he's pro se. He wants his boat back.
He was pro se, but there was an attorney, I don't know if it was you or some other attorney, but somebody appeared filing motions at the district level also.
No, what happened was, there's an administrative process, and he did the administrative process. I don't think I reserved, but I'd like to reserve 3 minutes.
You can have two.
Two, okay. There was an administrative process with the DEA, and he filed. I assisted him. I'm from Miami. I assisted him. I'm not a member of the district court here. I assisted him in preparing the paperwork when they did not do anything in the case, absolutely nothing. 90 days was up. He filed on his own here, and you can see the petition is notarized by someone locally and it sworn to oath that he was the owner of the boat. Nobody came forward for this boat in 4 years. All the defendants have.
In addition to the merits of the question of the merits of the district court's ruling, you separately contest the decision to dismiss without permitting an opportunity to amend, correct?
Which both the government and I agreed on, both of us.
Why would
there not be an opportunity to amend, especially when it was filed pro se?
You requested it?
I requested it in the response to the motion to dismiss. The government put it in their motion to dismiss that, hey, this probably should just give him opportunity to amend. And then the judge just enters this order that doesn't even make sense and names other people, Mrs. Perez, and I mean, it's just...
Did you seek a motion to reconsider?
No, I did not. I filed an appeal because it was, it's just, I mean, this commercial fisherman has been, I mean, it's not even an expensive boat. It's like a 25-foot, 30-year-old boat. And it's gotten personal. It's like, he came from Cuba. That's where they take your property. They don't give you any way to get it back. They don't give you any reason. There's nothing. There's not one. He's not a criminal defendant. There's not one allegation in this record that he did anything wrong, ever. I would ask the court to ask the government, where in the record did he do anything wrong? He's just trying to get his boat back. I mean, it's really kind of elemental. And we have Section O of 853 that says, hey, this is remedial. This is something that, we want to afford due process to people. And when I went to law school 40 years ago, it was always, equity abhors forfeiture, and forfeiture was like the most extreme thing. And now it's just, here we are. Fast forward, and you're taking a boat from a fisherman who didn't do anything wrong.
I thought the question is, has he made a record that in federal court can be relied on to show that it's his boat? The district court concluded no, given what the filing was. I haven't heard you say anything that suggests that part of the district court's ruling is wrong.
I think there was sufficient evidence in the record. I mean, what else?
What is in the English language that shows it's his boat?
Judge, it's the all the documents that are I mean, it's the registration. There's a, I believe, a certificate of title for the
That was in Spanish when it was filed, correct?
Okay.
Yeah. So you have a second argument, which is even if that's true, you should have been given a chance to cure it.
Exactly, and it was never raised in the district court. The government never raised the Jones Act.
They did not.
Did not. Absolutely 100% did not.
It's not an affirmative defense. The court, again, there's case law from the circuit. The Jones Act is clear. It has to be in English.
But
this is to your point about why you should have the chance to have the amendment, because it wasn't evident to you that was going to be a source of contestation.
Correct. Correct. If the court said, hey, this is not in English, we would just get translations. I mean, you have to understand, it's really just to get your foot in the door. I mean, you don't put your whole, I mean, it's not just...
You have to file something that shows you are a person who owns the boat.
And he did, and he swore under oath.
Yeah, but...
You know, it's not, see, it's not, you know, I understand, you know, when you're talking about boats and cars and airplanes, you know, these are things that are titled and they show there's a record of the transfers. You know, this is not like jewelry or artwork. Oh yeah, this is my, that's mine, you know. There's no, you have to show how you came into that, you know, and he did. Show that the man bought it at an auction in 2015.
And am I right? You have authority. There's no authority from our circuit addressing whether there was an obligation to permit, whether it was an abuse of discretion not to give you a chance to amend.
Well,
you have a Seventh Circuit case you're relying on. Is that right?
Yeah, Farundo, I believe it is. And there's the other case that where the wife, you know, barely made a. It was argued that the petition wasn't sufficient. The district judge said, look, okay, why don't you do some discovery and, you know, come back in 3 months, and they did, and it turned out that the property or whatever was bought after the indictment date, so she lost. I mean, that's all really that should have happened. I mean, to never have a hearing, ever have a hearing on a boat that is named an indictment with your registration, you wait, you know, till everybody pleads guilty and everybody gives up their right to it. Nobody else comes forward for the boat. And a pro se guy comes into the thing and he figures, well, I'll attach my receipt for the Suzuki engine. I'll attach this and I'll attach that and I'll attach that. And then, oh no, that's not enough. I mean, it's just something, you know, justice, you know, not only needs to be done, but it needs to appear to be done, you know. What do litigants look like when they see this and they just get knocked out of court after 4 years of trying to get, I mean, he did everything as best he could. And there was nothing here that was incurable. Both the government and the petitioner agreed, okay, let us amend. That's in their motion to dismiss. And then the judge issues this order that really didn't even make much sense and didn't even really explain herself.
What were the grounds in the motion to dismiss filed by the government? Was the Jones Act issue mentioned, or that was not mentioned?
Not mentioned at all.
It was just on the merits?
On the merits. It was basically that it wasn't sufficient showing that it was his boat.
And is that because the timing was missing?
In other words,
the timing was unclear, right?
It didn't show that he, even though the registration shows he bought it and he, it was transferred to him in 2017, the indictment starts in 2019, they argued that it didn't show how he came into possession of it. That was the problem. That's why he went and got the record from the auction where the previous owner bought it. And then the transfer from the previous owner. So they have everything they can to investigate. Or, I mean, again, the man is...
Just so I get this point on the... Aside from the English language, Spanish language issue, the gap the district court identifies as to ownership that's related to the timing is what?
The gap is at least 2 years. 2 years. In other words, the boat was acquired in 2017.
By your client?
By my client.
Yeah.
2015 by previous owner, 2017 by my client, and then 2019 is the earliest date in the criminal indictment.
And yet the district court thought there was some question as to whether the 2017 meant it was your client's boat. Because why?
I'm not sure what the, you know, district court was in her mind, because it didn't really make sense. I think she confused it with a claim by another defendant, criminal defendant, that, or the wife of a criminal defendant that was named Perez. So, you know.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
You have 2 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. At this time, would counsel for the government please come to the podium and introduce himself on the record to begin?
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. I'm Jacob Larson for the United States. We ask that this Court affirm the District Court's order denying David's petition and its final forfeiture order. To address just a couple points that were raised previously, first, that the government did not, or that the government did seek leave to amend. The primary thing that the government sought was a motion to dismiss when it filed its motion to dismiss. It also, you can call it extending an olive branch, whatever metaphor you want to use, to say that the could be leave to amend because it perhaps saw David as a pro se litigant, although as was pointed out on appendix page 136, footnote 3, there's some question as to whether that's true. And it was within the court's discretion to grant leave to amend. The government doesn't contest that. So, but its primary request was a motion to dismiss.
Was there any good reason that you can think of not to allow a motion to amend?
Leave
yes.
to amend?
What is the good reason?
Because it protects the statutory timing requirement under Section 853. Section 853 and is essential to protecting the private property rights of American citizens.
That would mean you could never give a leave to amend.
The court has a discretion to give.
I understand. Given that there's discretion, the answer can't be don't use your discretion because it would undermine the timing. Then you would never exercise the discretion. The government suggested you wouldn't oppose a leave to amend in your response, right?
In the response, yes.
So I'm just, is there some good reason for
yes.
not exercising it, set beyond just the fact that obviously it would extend the time if you allowed a leave to amend, but is there some reason other than that?
In this instance, David had an opportunity to cure the deficiencies. His response was again deficient.
When was the opportunity?
When he responded to the motion, government's motion to dismiss.
But in that, you had suggested he could amend, and he said, if this isn't enough, then I can amend.
The government did offer that at that point.
Yeah.
And David's response was deficient. And the court
But he said, I don't need to, effectively, because what I've given is enough. But if not, I'd like to amend. And you seem to be on the same page as that. So is there some reason for the district court to say, nonetheless, it's too late?
Well, at this point, well, third time's the charm's not in the statute. The district court made its determination based off what was in David's response to the motion to dismiss.
And if there's, if I understand it, the deficiency, you didn't raise a Jones Act problem.
No.
You were treating it effectively, even if the district court was right to say you can't, that the Spanish language documents were evidence of what they purported to be. And yet the government's position was it still wasn't enough, right, because there was a gap in timing.
He didn't describe the circumstances of his acquisition.
And so just help me understand what the idea is there. If I understand the record, if we took the Spanish language documents for saying what they are, which was the government's approach, and I'm saying this in part to understand what to think about the leave to amend.
What he would have to do is make out a claim under N6A that he had a superior interest to the government's at the time of the crime. And that doesn't have to be a lot. The threshold isn't high.
No, but his documents on his account, which the government wasn't disputing, was that he got the boat in 2017?
Yes.
And the crime is 2019?
Yes.
So what is it that he hasn't shown that suggests somehow when he got it in 2017 that wouldn't give him superior claim?
I can't speculate, but there could have been a change in the title transfer. We don't know where he exactly got it, like what was happening.
Why would you need to know where he got it from?
Because there could be circumstances that are relevant to the crime, where this is a part of a criminal investigation. He could have, perhaps in this case, the most valuable part of a boat is like the motor, and we don't know, for example.
I'm just curious, from the government's perspective, Let's say I have a boat. I give you, I show you I got title to the boat in 2017. You're now charging a crime in 2018. That's all the record shows. The government has put forward nothing to indicate that I was somehow working with the criminal enterprise that's causing the basis for the forfeiture claim in the first place. I just showed I got it before you've charged any crime happened. The position of the government is that's still not enough. I have to do something more. What would I have to do?
For purposes of 853, you have to provide a description of the circumstances. And again, this could just be a couple of sentences describing.
Like what, just give me a sense. What do you have in mind?
For example, I purchased, so we're talking about it like an auction. I purchased this boat at an auction in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
As opposed to just saying I have title.
Yes, title alone is insufficient.
Title alone is insufficient. Okay, and so in this instance, was there then evidence put in the record about the auction or not?
There was evidence that was in Spanish language that was not translated.
Of the auction?
I think that was, there was also additional evidence of prior purchase. This auction was for the prior owner, I believe.
I see.
But that was, I think, in English language, or it was in English language. But the relevant documents here proving David's ownership, or so he alleges, were in untranslated Spanish.
Okay.
Yeah, but let me ask, for purpose of the court, when the documents get filed, they have to be in English. That we all know that. But at the U.S. Attorney's, same, most defense attorneys, everybody speaks Spanish. So I'm sure somebody from the U.S. Attorney's office could have seen the documents and read them in Spanish, understood them, and if they see something's missing, because again, we're dealing with a pro se claimant.
Well, first, not necessarily pro se, and again, I point to appendix page 136, footnote 3. Second, even if he is pro se, in this instance, it is the duty of the court to see that the documents are English. That's the court's, as this court has held in Pacheco, for example. And I point to that case because in that instance, there was a double jeopardy case and there was a Puerto Rico court decision. And I would guess that the court in that instance would have been able to understand what was going on in that Puerto Rico court decision, even if it's in Spanish, and could not consider.
Does the district court address the leave to amend issue in its final order?
It does not address. It does not provide an extensive rationale.
So what would be the problem with vacating for the district court to address the leave to amend issue?
It would contravene the statutory time requirement.
How would it? I thought you said that they have discretion to do that, so it doesn't contravene it.
In this, it protects the statutory time requirement. It may not be flatly prohibited.
But if there's I'm asking a different question. Both the government and the other attorney raised the prospect of a leave to amend. At least from what I'm hearing, it's not evident to me what the good reason is in this circumstance for not allowing that. The district court, in disallowing it, doesn't address that question. Is there some reason not to give the district court a chance to address it so we would know whether it thought about it, had a good reason to do it, et cetera?
Simply that the question is whether it abuses discretion in doing so. That's the question being asked before this court.
Well, what reason would you say we should defer to for it not having done so?
That David failed twice to satisfy the requirements of the statute, that this statute is essential to protecting private property rights, to preventing baseless claims.
The twice is what, in the initial filing and then in the response to the motion to dismiss?
Yes.
But both parties are suggesting maybe leave to amend should be granted. So am I correct?
In that first instance, before the district court's order, the government, second to its motion to dismiss, suggested that a leave to amend would be appropriate. That doesn't mean that that's the government's position now. It doesn't mean it was his primary position then. And the district court did not abuse its discretion.
But we don't have sometimes what we do is we say, oh, if the district court hasn't said why it did something and the government has made an argument for it to have done something, we sometimes will say, well, you can infer the district court must have been agreeing with the government here. We can't do that here, right?
Well, perhaps be in your discretion to do so.
If we say they agreed with the government, then they should have allowed the leave to amend.
I think the government, what the government said below was offering that because.
But gave no reason to deny leave to amend, correct? That's not a criticism, that's just a fact.
It gave no reason.
So what reason do we have to understand why the district court did what it did? On this record, you couldn't say, well, it must have been doing what the government argued it should do. Because it didn't do what the government argued it should do.
No, but there are other cases that we've cited where the courts deny leave to amend, like Welch. This is something that the circuits have done when there is insufficient petitions. And on that basis, the court did not abuse its discretion in doing so.
Last question, and this is kind of hard to... Is the government's position that the untranslated that the translated versions of the documents would still be insufficient? Has it made that clear, or is its position that at least given the record of what's in English, it's not enough?
We describe in our brief, even if they're translated, even if this court could somehow consider them, it would be insufficient because there's just not enough details about the circumstances. And that gets to what I described previously, the purchase the boat in Santa Fe type sentence that would be sufficient under a Twombly-Iqbal standard. That just isn't here.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. At this time, would counsel for the appellant please reintroduce himself on the record? He has a 2-minute rebuttal.
Yes, again, George Palace on behalf of the appellant. I think the court has a pretty good idea. You know, 224, which is the exhibit, is the auction notes or calendar, if you will.
That from the 2017 acquisition? Or the
no, that was 2015.
Yeah, so the question is, when he got it in 2017, is there anything in the record about the circumstances of that acquisition?
100%, Judge. It's the document, it's the certificate of numeracion, you know, that's
that
in
just
it.
Shows that he had it.
That it's registered. It's registered right. I'm not familiar with all the...
Did you hear the government's position is that there needs to be something that explains the circumstances by which your client acquired it in 2017. Not that he acquired it, but the circumstances by which he did. Is there anything in the record that indicates that?
That he acquired it in 2017 from the person that bought it at auction in 2015. It was a private sale. That's all it shows. But I mean,
he makes an argument. You make an argument. And we decide what to do.
But I mean, if yeah. You know, we can speculate all day. But I mean, that's the purpose of an evidentiary hearing, is to present evidence. You know, I mean, the question, the way I see it, is was there enough to at least give the man a hearing.
Well, let me say, in your request to leave to amend, did you spell out what it is you wanted to do?
I just reiterated that the government offered that would be an option, and I think that alternatively, I think that would be the best way to do it.
But what I'm just trying to figure, what would you amend? What would you add?
Well, I would add, I added in the response to the motion to dismiss, I added the auction and the transfer from the owner
bought it to the auction to your client,
right? And that was not a title change; that was a like some kind of receipt.
I got it. Okay.
Thank you.
Counsel, that concludes argument in this case.